Episode 407, February 11th, 2019.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Good morning, afternoon, evening. How are you guys doing? Rob and Joe Show. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, man? I'm reading through some things I know we're going to talk about.
It's going to be a good show. We just recorded a bonus show, so look for that, patrons. If you're not on board with that, it's just $5, and you can hear this show and all the previous ones. It's up to about 20 now, right, Robbie? Somewhere in that ballpark?
I think it's even more, actually.
All right.
You know, Robbie buried a bombshell in that. It's part of the end of the story that he told about his job, but he almost kind of just passed over. But that was really... I mean, that's super bonus content.
Yes.
That we really didn't. It wasn't like, I'm surprised you didn't say, Robbie, hey, I got to tell a story about what happened today.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah,
I feel like painful.
Well, that's not elaborated. You have to pay for that information. I mean, I don't want to have that as part of the bonus show and then everybody gets to hear it. So.
Gotcha. Huh. Well, welcome to the show. It's Valentine's Day week. We are going to take our lovely women to Magoobie's Joke House where we're working. Aren't we romantic?
Well, I am taking remember when we were here, I think it was the last episode, you took Tawana to the most expensive restaurant in the world.
A high roller. Yeah, yes, yeah. The Bygone.
Yes, and I said, would you be upset if I took you to the Bygone? She goes, well, I've given you restaurants that I want to go to. And then I proved that I had them, and I'm taking her to one of those restaurants.
But that's for Valentine's or for her birthday?
That's for Valentine's Day.
Okay, are you doing that on Friday or Wednesday?
I think it's Saturday, because in order to go to this restaurant on Friday, we would have had to go in to eat at 5:30.
Yeah.
That's when Gramps eats, but I eat later than that.
I have gigs on Friday and Saturday, so sorry, Tawanda.
What are you going to do? Nothing?
And then we have to do a rehearsal Sunday. I guess I have to do something, right? Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that. Like, you do a joke about this, but... You know, Valentine's Day is a day, like, why am I paying?
Yes.
It's our holiday, right?
Yeah.
For love.
Yeah, well, no, it's not a even swap of gifts, that's for sure. But this is my dilemma. I just, you know, I'm coming off Christmas and her birthday. I've run out of things to say on cards. I don't have any more love to say. I don't have any other angle. I got nothing.
I can give you some ideas, Rob.
Thank you, Robbie. We have to talk about that with Robbie, but if you... wrote down, if you took one of the old cards and just wrote verbatim the exact same thing, you think she'd notice?
No. I stop writing in the cards. The card is the romantic part. I'm just saying, you know, a little ha-ha one-liner, if that.
So, speaking of cards, and we'll get there.
That's how well dry my well is.
It was Justin Schlegel's 40th birthday on Friday.
Yeah, I got to go in myself and Koechner.
Yeah, give him a gift on behalf of Die Laughing Productions. And then we gave him a card signed by everybody, of course, but you, because you couldn't make it the following day. And I said to Katie, I go, well, I bought you a card for Valentine's Day. Why don't we just use that? And then she's like, well, that's a Valentine's Day card. And then I told her what it was, and it's a dinosaur saying, I love you this much. And he's holding his arms out, but he's got small arms.
Oh,
that's
adorable.
He's a T-Rex. Yeah. Yeah. And so she wouldn't allow that. So instead, we got, I can't remember what it's like, the story of farts or something dumb like that. And it's this long story about about how farting is like love. Robbie, did you even read it or just go straight no. to the end? But anyway, at the very end, we all signed it, but I also signed it like on behalf of people that weren't there, like pretend, just writing the worst fucking things I could think of, right?
I get it.
And I wrote something about somebody we mentioned a lot on here that Tommy's related to. Dylan, God rest his soul, signed it. Tawanda signed it.
Nice.
But
nice
not for real. And I just wrote these horrible things in there. And then we gave it to Justin, which I knew he would laugh about. But Robbie, he brought his girlfriend with him, right? And so then he brought his girlfriend down into
New girlfriend.
Right, sorry. New girlfriend, he brought her down into the green room. By the way, am I allowed to talk about this, Robbie? That's cool?
Yes.
Okay, good.
What are we calling her? Are we giving her a name?
Well, do we want to talk about this now?
Well, hold on. We'll get back to that. We won't give her a name. We'll decide we're going to call her later.
She would prefer you not use her real name.
I won't use it.
I don't know. Yes. I've forgotten her real name.
Her name is so uncommon. Oh, I know who that is. Anyway, so that's a joke. Her name is very common. You probably met 1,000 people with this name. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't know her last name to give it, so I think we're good. Oh, here's
neither does Robbie. It's that new.
Here's her social security number. Anyway.
Do you know her middle name, Robbie?
I do.
Oh, wow.
So, wow, I barely know Katie's middle name. It's Elizabeth, by the way. Anyway, so he brings her down there, and it doesn't even occur to me, but I see that card. Not like she would look through somebody's card, but if you don't know us and you look at that card, she might break up with Robbie. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's the kind of shit that was written. Robbie,
Do you think that's true, Robbie?
She wouldn't, because, number one, I gave her complete fair warning about the debauchery that might be going on down in that room, and she was perfectly willing to go down there, and she wouldn't have thought any less of me if she read that stuff in the card.
She would have definitely thought less of me.
They warned those soldiers in Vietnam it was going to be bad, but it's still affecting them.
They still came
50 years
with PTSD,
later.
Right?
Okay, so Matt Colby, number one, said, you should write in the card, will you marry me? And then he also said, Eric Woodworth's wife's radio name is Erica, so Robbie's should be Robin.
Okay.
I like it.
Although Robin. But that's our sister's name.
No, it's fine. I'm going with I think Matt Colby's correct. Robin it is.
All right, Robin.
But she has to agree to it.
Oh, Jesus.
She has to agree to her fake name?
Demanding
yes, she
woman.
Does. No, she does have an opinion about this, so I have to.
So Robbie might remember, but aside from the card, because I picked immediately, not that she would have leaped through a card, but I can't even have her picking that up by accident.
She's going to be listening to this, correct?
That's fine. It's because she can't read the card now. So I literally took the card and I put it in Katie's purse. I couldn't have it even.
Locked it away.
I couldn't have it looked at, right? That's how bad it was.
She's going to want to read the card.
You can't read it. It's done. Justin probably ripped it up, threw it away to protect everybody, you know. Anyway, that's how bad what was written in this card was. But then also there was discussions that were going on, and Robbie, you might remember the details of it. I don't, but I remember the subject matter was such. I'm like, wow, there's somebody new here. Is this okay to talk about? Do you remember what it was, Robbie?
I can't pick out anything specific that I thought that she would find particularly offensive.
So there was nothing that was said that you were like, maybe I should.
Worried about?
You're no. just so used to it. That's the thing.
I'm used to it, but
so is Robbie.
That's why I can't recall it. But
right.
I remember afterwards going, man, that was probably.
There was some jokes made about child molestation.
Yeah, yeah,
hilarious.
That's right. Yes, I do remember. That's exactly
Always
what I was thinking
a
about.
Fun yeah. topic. Now, did she's seen the Christmas show, correct? And now she's seen this show. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did she have a favorite, or did she dislike them both, or did she like them both?
I did not ask her which one she preferred. I should have, but no, she loved both shows. I look back, and she was belly laughing very hard.
So she wasn't upset that I wasn't there. She didn't feel like the show was missing me.
She wanted to leave when she saw that.
No, she thought Sean was hilarious.
Sean is hilarious.
Sean did great. I will say that I think that it's cool for her to kind of see two shows happen. Because you know how you'll see a comic, not you, because you know, mm-hmm. but like my father, I remember one time he had only seen me crush, right? And then one time he saw me at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, and he's like, and I just had just a kind of an okay set or whatever. It was one of those early whatever shows.
Right.
And of course he come up to me afterwards. He goes, yeah, I think you told those jokes a little bit differently. And, you know, and I'm just like, I didn't want to, you know, I go, okay, you know, whatever. Thanks. But she literally got to see the same show, and the first show was really good.
Because we do two shows at the Bright Box.
Right. And the first show, and Robbie, tell me if you agree with this. The first show was like a B+, A-. And then the last show was an A+. We were just crushing, and, you know, you get your feet under you. And we hadn't done that show in probably been 5-6 months, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Correct. So, the energy, however, in the audience was better in the first show.
I don't know that I agree with that.
And well, that's good that you had different opinions. That means they both were good.
The truth is, the audience in the beginning was hot from square one. The second audience had to be won over more.
Yeah, that I feel differently about that. And I'll tell you why I probably do. Because normally what I do when I go up and I tell them about the team sheet, right? Mm-hmm. I always say, hey, just so you'll know, it's a rated R show, so if you're easily offended, you know, too late, we already have your money. I know I've told that joke 1,000 times, yeah. But I say it every single time, but really it's not to get
easy joke.
It's an easy joke, but really it's like, hey, this is going to be dirty.
Of course.
And the first show, I forgot to say that, okay? Not a huge deal, right? Because honestly, when you say, who's seen the show before, half the audience applauds, because, you know, that's their people come back to see it. They love it. So in the front row, there was this, and did you even notice this, Robbie? Probably not from where you were sitting. But in the very front row, stage right, but still in the front, there was two older couples. And every time an F or an S or Justin or, you know, of course, this is did anything, there was this one
or
blonde.
80% of the show content.
Right. There was this one blonde lady that kept looking over at other people like, this is what's going on? Like, I could tell. She did not want to be a part of what was going on. She was sitting in the very front. She also bought VIP. So that means they paid to come in early.
Well, they didn't know what to expect. It happens.
But, you know, I always gauge it is when I go around to ask them if they have any questions. And then you get to see an idea if they're, you know. So I
how
went around.
How engaged they are?
Well, if they're like, we're going to complain to the manager about how filthy this thing
that
is, right?
Usually, that almost never happens.
No, it's very rare. One time I even remember is that guy who was the lieutenant at Ram's Head or whatever.
Yes.
But you're right. For the most part, that's rarely happens. But when I went over, they were trying to solve the murder mystery.
Oh, they're happy then. They weren't ready for the cursing, and then they got on board.
Well, it's weird is that the second show I felt was a lot dirtier, Robbie. Did you agree with that?
Yes.
And, of course, I always look at the old people. Like, are they cool with this, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, there's that one thing that Tommy and Justin do.
Oh, I do know. I'm
underneath
very familiar
underneath
this.
Of the card.
Very homoerotic.
And that's what I was like, because that might be the worst thing that we do in any show, right?
Well, it's also with this show, the dirtiest things we do happen in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I always look at, yeah, you kind of got
to build up.
You're right. You got to kind of earn that, and yeah. They don't, and it's still great or whatever. But I always look at the oldest people to see how they react, and they were loving it. They were loving it, so that made me know, all right, cool, we're good.
In the second show, there was a lot of activity in the final act surrounding Eric's package.
Oh, well, that's usually dangling out somehow.
Well, it wasn't that. It's Eric shoved a giant sock
in it. Of course he did.
And he even said it looked like a minus sign. Okay, it was just like, you know, and Tommy was grabbing it. Now, you know, just, you know.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then he pulled it out because it was obviously tissues, and then he blew his nose in it. I mean, it's like these guys were just off the fucking rails.
This is the kind of highbrow stuff that we deliver. Die Laughing Productions.
Yeah, we're giving away all our A material.
Yeah, come see this same show, Magoobies, this Valentine's Day.
Yeah, in case
you
want to see that.
Yeah. So I want to get back to the cards real quick. By the way, I probably, maybe Saturday during the afternoon, I have a gig in Ashburn. We'll get down there early and go out to eat. There's nice restaurants there.
All right.
But speaking of the cards, I sort of do a joke about how Tawana's always buying me cards, and every card is two animals spooning. And it just gets ridiculous. Like for Christmas, you know, it was two owls, and it says, "Owl I want for Christmas is you." I'm like, okay. So I get her this card for her birthday, and then she opens it and reads it. And I hadn't realized, Robbie, that there's two monkeys that I'd chosen as the animals.
So, did she make a comment, or did you notice it as you gave it to her?
No, she made a comment. Oh, two monkeys, that's racist, jokingly, because the
obviously,
car was
yeah.
sweet. But I was like, oh, okay, I guess you're right.
Well, you understand the fact that you didn't notice, there's going to be an argument made, and it's the correct argument, that it would never occur to you to make that comparison, and that's the reason that the card was bought. And I
or
say that
maybe.
Before.
Or maybe unconsciously.
Right, that's the other thing. Unconsciously, you're racist. So a lot of people would make the second argument, unfortunately. If you're ever on Twitter, that would be it. It's part of the...
Of course. Yeah.
Right. But I made the same argument about the guy who had put that kid in the T-shirt in that H&M catalog. I go, well, you know that guy's not a bigot because he didn't... But anyway, so...
Well, one time I also said, she said, see you later, alligator. I almost said, see you soon, baboon. But I had to cut that off just as a reflex.
Did you see, like, see you soon?
I think I said, see you soon, and then I just, you know... It just bombed.
See you soon,
honey boo, or something. Yeah, you know,
Hey,
something that made no sense.
Before we leave the murder mystery, I know we talked about Melissa Manchester on here because Robbie played a Melissa Manchester song, and we were like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Right? And so Robbie, of course, he didn't remove the Melissa Manchester song, right?
Why would he?
We talked about how it shouldn't be in there and how shitty it was.
What murder mystery was that?
It was this one, right, Robbie?
I think it was in Annapolis.
Okay, but it's the Newly Dead Game.
Yes, it's the Newly Dead Game.
Correct. So in the Newly Dead Game, every single song we play...
It's about love.
Yeah. ...has the word love in the title, or loving, some variation of that word. Come and get your love. Oh, there's thousands of them.
I think we leave...
I think I just stick to the word love, and mainly the big noun love as opposed to the verb.
Okay. There's a million, not a million, but there's probably 100 songs that you instantly recognize with love in the title.
All you need is love.
Yes.
Yeah, no, most of the songs are great.
Yes.
Right? Something that's
everybody... easy to draw from. Yeah.
So the song right after, by the way, Robbie pointed out that it was Melissa Manchester. Ha ha ha. We have a good laugh. Mm-hmm. The very next song. Okay. This is the next song.
This is just the other day, Saturday.
This is 2 days ago.
Yes.
The next song is by American pop singer songwriter. Leslie Pearl.
Who I'd never heard of. I went to Google and I had to get to the P-E-A for it to autocorrect to finish to Leslie
Pearl. That's probably because she's only ever had one hit in her entire life.
No, she's had many hits. This is the only hit she sang.
Hold on. That's also incorrect, and we'll talk about that in a second. And the reason that that's incorrect is because what it says here in her Wikipedia is she wrote songs for Crystal Gayle, Karen Carpenter, Kenny Rogers, Johnny Mathis, Dr. Hook. I've seen this done before because when we talked to Michael Bolton, I tell you, we interviewed Michael Bolton on 98 Rock.
No.
Kind of cool. So we interview him, and in his Wikipedia, it says, wrote songs for so-and-so, so-and-so, and then it said Kiss. So I'm like, huh. So then you Google it, and it's some fucking deep, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They did, but if the song isn't listed, they didn't write a hit. They just wrote some. Right, yeah. Exactly. That's the thing. So, no, she hasn't written a bunch of hits, except for she did the lyrics and music on the song My Body Keeps Changing My Mind by Karen Carpenter. It's the only song, which, by the way, I've never fucking heard of. Okay. So anyway.
So what is this song called?
Song is called, am I right about this? If the Love Fits, Wear It.
Correct.
Never heard that title.
This song peaked at 28.
In what year?
In 82. It peaked. But just to give you the nature of this song, let me tell you where it did better. It was number 7 on the adult contemporary chart.
That's what we're going for.
And one thing I know about the adult contemporary chart is every song on there sucks. Now, just to let you know, it was number 16 on the adult contemporary chart in Canada and 23 in Ireland on the adult contemporary. Don't act like it was a hit.
No, these are fringe, barely on the...
Barely scraping. I mean, the radio play had to be fucking minuscule, right? So... She's most famous for writing jingles for Pepsi, Folgers, Coffee, Ford, and Gillette.
Which would have been more appropriate.
Yes,
probably.
If you would have... I love Folgers. That would have been... So, the two questions for me is like... And I literally walked right up. I go, Robbie, you know, you're trolling your own show. This is your product. You're not fucking with somebody else. Of course, Robbie's like, nobody's in here yet because, you know, he's playing. Which he's right, you know. But it is weird. But what I want to know is, how do you fucking even know this song?
Yeah,
how do you know it?
Do you search worst song ever with love in the title? Can we hear the song?
Yeah, play it, Robbie.
Better off to leave it
I think we get the gist. What's Chad saying?
They haven't been able to comment yet because it plays a little
bit. I texted Joe because he texted me about this, Robbie, and I texted Joe. I said, if we had to describe our brand to anyone, it would be whatever the exact opposite of that song is.
Yeah, you're right. Just imagine if that lady who keeps looking at a gym of mine said, I just threw up in my mouth. That song is why that lady who was in there, by the way, that's actually, I don't know if she was, because that was in between show one and two, right, Robbie? Or was that before show one?
Which lady are we talking about?
No, that was before show one, because I had just gotten to Magoobies.
So that lady who kept looking at the other people in her at her table every time she heard something salacious or whatever, She was probably fooled by hearing that song.
She's probably got excited. Oh, this is going to be an adult contemporary vibe.
This is an adult contemporary
show. I'm glad we paid for
the
VIP.
So, yeah. So, anyway, back to, by the way, great song. I wonder if we have any listeners who have heard that song. So, you know.
Can I just tell you very quickly? The reason I was playing those songs, because there was only the VIPs where there were very few people in there. And you and Katie were sitting there, and I was doing it to make you laugh, and I was doing it to make my date laugh, because she made fun of me about the whole Melissa Manchester thing. I told her about that. She goes, they should make fun of you. And so that comes up frequently. Then I played this song, and she just shook her head, and she saw you guys laughing, and we all had a good laugh.
It is
and
funny.
And then I said, hey, have you heard this song before? She goes, I'm sad to say I do know this song.
So she knows the song. First of all, how do you know the song?
I heard it on the radio on Sirius Satellite one day.
Okay, so you heard it on
Sirius. What station was that?
And I said, I like this song. I'll put it.
Have you made love to that song?
No.
So let me also say this. Rob, you're sitting in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Robbie, cue up the song. Don't turn it on yet. I'm going to tell you, okay? You're turning the dial, okay?
Scanning.
You're scrolling through the dials. Oh, it's a religious station. Oh, they're at a commercial. All of a sudden, you flip it to this. I want to know how long till you turn it.
Now.
Yeah, like right now.
You know when
you
hit scan and you have to wait 5 seconds? But if you just hit it twice.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
Are you going to wait for this?
No. There's no way I make it to the chorus. No way.
All right. You can turn it off now. But Robbie got all the way through it and said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm about to own that shit.
This is the problem with this. Robbie's going to say, well, look, this got a good conversation. I got a laugh. So then he's going to want to try to one-up it. So now he's going to have this kind of show, this kind of song, in the middle of the show, in a packed house. It'll keep getting more crazy.
Oh, this won't get played at Magoobies.
No, but a show of this ilk, a song of this ilk, that's just the number 37 hit in 1972 some band you never heard of.
But I do give Robbie, look, that's fine that Robbie was trying to fucking make me laugh or get under my skin or whatever. I have absolutely no problem with that. But I will say, Melissa Manchester wasn't a joke. So you got to remember that.
No, that's true. I love
And the
Melissa
other
Manchester.
Thing is that if you hear this and you come to a show and it's at Ram's Head and you're some old lieutenant or you're this lady and you hear this song, you're right. You have no fucking idea about what's about to happen. You don't. It's completely misrepresented.
No, you have an idea. It's just completely wrong. Yeah. Look, I don't like the song Love Shack, but everybody knows it.
There are currently no songs.
Leslie, whatever songs. What's her name? I forgot.
Leslie Pearl.
Yeah.
There's no songs that you would associate with being like the 50th song in the top 100 or something. None of that's in the 90s list.
Well, I'd rather hear
literally
a Leslie
every
Nielsen
song. Anybody who's lived through the 90s knows these songs. That's not to say one won't make it in the future shows, but right now there's none like that.
Well, February 27th, the Rams had on stage the debut of Hit Me 90s One More Time.
We have a friend, actually, I think he hasn't been on the show, but he's been discussed on the show very, very early, Mike Turpin.
Yes.
Okay. And Mike Turpin, I don't know if you've seen any of his Facebook videos of him playing the guitar.
Yeah.
But he's fucking horrible. I don't think he knows it, right?
I don't know. I think he's just showing, you know, someone will show their
progression.
Fat and they'll show the progression of their weight loss.
Okay.
And they're still fat, but you're like, you're doing better. You're rewarding them.
So I hear that. Because Katie always like, hey, listen to this, and she plays
he's
it.
He's no Leslie Pearl.
Oh, he makes Leslie Pearl sound like fucking Stevie Wonder, okay? So I hear it, and I'm like, God, I would never fucking put that out. It's so horrible. It's hard even sometimes to recognize the song that he's singing, right? And I like Mike, but
clearly by the fact you're bringing this up, we didn't have.
Well,
to.
No, I'm gonna make a point.
Okay.
Then I know his favorite comic is Andy Kaufman,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking, I wonder if he's just fucking with us, right? Because that Justin would do that too, by the way.
Yes,
but you'd kind of almost get it if it was Justin. But with Mike Turpin, I'm like, is this real? Is he fucking with us? Because obviously, he's really horrible at this, right?
We'll have to download one of his or play one of his Facebook videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Not this show, Robbie. We know that's a lot to ask. But
anyway, I think about, as soon as I said, he's kind of having fun for himself at everybody else's expense. And it made me think about when Robbie plays these, because he even just said now, hey, I'm going to play, maybe I'll fuck with you on this 90s. I'm like, well, this is you own this property too, Robbie. You're a part of this. But you're like, fuck it. I'd rather fuck with these guys than, you follow what I'm saying? It's like with the Glenn Frey song.
It's one song.
Robbie, I swear to you, it doesn't, I'm not mad. I'm not mad about it. But that makes me think of the Mike Turpin thing.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got a gift from a fan at the Bright Box, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. This time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not, actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Debuting February 27th at Ram's Head on Stage in Annapolis. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Welcome to our 400th show. We've really evolved.
Hold on. ABBA? You said ABBA?
ABBA.
Is that what they're called?
It's ABBA.
Darling, can't you hear me? SOS.
So now I'm all Team ABBA. 2019.
I just said you're saying ABBA. Which, yes. By the way, it might be just like Dad and Hero.
What's chat saying? Do they know what Bulgogi is?
My father calls it Bulgogi. No, I don't know.
I mean, how do you know someone's cool right away?
I mean, come on. Everybody knows I'm cool. Robbie and I used to work at Longhorn Steak and Seafood.
Wow, what a brag. So I've just been sitting at home, just thinking, plotting, brainstorming.
This fucker's throwing me a bachelor party. I'm going to pay for it myself. Gramps' next line, all I need is Monica. Monica says, and some Viagra.
To all the girls I've loved before.
That's what we're doing for Joe's bachelor party. We're getting our nails done. We're going to go see Hamilton. It's going to be a good time.
Love.
So, Joe, we now have just breaking news. No more Robbie and Marcus this episode. No, should the dog be in this environment with this father of yours?
She's willing to give you up to marry the dog.
Yeah, getting married in 123 days.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what avocado ice cream tastes
definitely
like?
Definitely swallowed a fucking suppository. Now,
at some point, your body's like, well, I can't physically do this anymore. Vaginal probiotic suppository.
Oh, look at this website. I don't even know what this is. Die Laughing Productions.
It looks like your name is Kitty Poosh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some Pooshy.
Fabulous work. Is that an Amato or a Robinson?
It is Amato's montage from January.
Well done.
Nicely done, my friend. Hey,
I feel like sometimes the montage is better than the show.
Yeah, I know. We should just stop. When you look for Leslie Pearl, it says you also might be interested in
killing yourself.
So, so I did it. And below it's Michelle Wright. Are you familiar with the work of Michelle Wright, Robbie?
Don't know Michelle Wright.
Well, I saw it here. She's a Canadian-born country singer, and she had a song which was a number 32 hit. It's only four spots lower. New Kind of Love.
Hey!
Oh. Okay.
Actually, I'm so
sorry.
I'm making
a note.
Wait a minute. No, that's Billboard Hot Country Songs. So,
but it's still called New Kind of Love.
Yeah, but it's a shitty hit. So I was trying to, but that's real shitty if it didn't even make it onto the Billboard. It was only on.
I look forward to hearing it.
New Kind of Love. Yeah, Rob probably threw that in there.
Yeah.
Michelle Wright. Hey, she's in the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame.
Good for her. Who else is in that?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Who's the Mount Rushmore of Canadian bands or acts?
Well, Paul Anka's from Canada.
Is it Rush Canadian?
Yep. Rush.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Glass Tiger, also Canadian.
It's got to be better than that. God, Canada sucks.
Jordan Peterson, of course, from Canada. Yeah.
So. I mean musicians. You listen to a Jordan Peterson album?
I would.
Yeah. So we have a friend, Tom. Are we saying his full name? Are we doing that?
I don't know. Maybe we should.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's a listener, lives in Winchester, comes to pretty much all of our murder mysteries.
Yeah, he's a good fan. I like him.
Really nice guy. And, you know, we've mentioned Chris Restivo on here multiple times in his clothing line, Five Plated Clothing.
Well, we don't know at this point who really owns that.
But there's up for debate, yes. And his saying, his slogan, never estimated.
Never estimated. Yes. Five Plated Clothing, never estimated.
So Tom, a few months ago, said, hey, I'm starting a coaster company, Five Plated Coasters, which he's told this to us at the Bright Box in Winchester, which we thought was hilarious. And then he emailed me, and he wanted to basically make some for your birthday. And I guess we didn't get together during Christmas, but he sent me a few prototypes and, you know, had me pick which ones I liked. And then come this past Saturday, he delivered them to you guys.
Dude, they're downstairs. Not only are they hilarious, but they're also kind of good quality.
Nice.
And they have the pictures of are you going to post those?
Yeah, well, one says Five Plated Coasters, and it has a wolf on it. It says oink. It says never estimated. And it has Five Plated Coasters. What is that? Some sort of dog or something?
Let me see.
And then it says, I know you're R, but what am I? So it's spelled wrong for Chris. Chris's
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's a few more. There's one with my face on it.
Oh, nice.
And a wolf below it. There's one with me and Katie on it. I kept six of them, but I gave the rest out because I wanted everybody to have one. Were you down there, Robbie?
I got two. I got one with an elephant and a penguin. And then I got another one with a pig. And it says, once you go pig, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the style of Chris Restivo's talent, and it's beautiful. Tom, we love
it. No, I love them. I love them. Yeah.
So Eric posts a photo of these on Facebook and tags Chris Restivo. And let's just say Chris is not too happy.
He was not happy.
Do you have the voicemail he left, Eric, Robbie?
Hey, Eric, I just saw that shit. I'm banned on Facebook again. But whoever made that shit, I'm either going to sue the fuck out of them or kick their fucking ass. They have two choices.
What do you choose? I'd rather wow. Chris try to kick my ass.
tough choices. And then he went on about he's going to get his...
He said he's going to get his Jew lawyer.
Yes.
Hey, can we call him and talk to him about it?
Yeah.
Hey, before you call, before you dial, Robbie, the angle I want to take is that this guy had this name before him. So that's our angle,
yes,
right?
Okay. That he has it incorporated and all that.
Yeah, and he's patented. Yeah. And he has it trademarked. Okay, yeah. Go. You want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
Calling Chris Restivo, owner of Five Plated Clothing.
Might be busy.
Local businessman. Remember we were going to get him to pitch to Under Armour?
Hello.
Hey, Chris Restivo, Rob Mayer, Rob and Joshua. How you doing?
What's up, man?
What's up,
you're
dude?
Live on the air, man.
You're on the air. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, cool, man.
All right.
Hey,
I'm about to cook dinner in a minute.
Oh.
So we just need a couple minutes.
Yeah.
What are you making for dinner?
Stop. Go ahead, Rob.
Hold on. We don't care. We got wind of, you're a little upset. We have a friend at Five Plated Coasters who made some coasters for us as a gift. And according to Eric Woodworth, you were upset about that.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed off. I don't understand why people got to be taking my name and shit.
Well, here's the thing I think is interesting is that when we talked to him, he said that he had come up with that name in 2003. and that you
yeah.
hadn't come up with it till 2006 or 7. So is it possible that you took his name?
No.
Are you sure?
He's out of his fucking mind. I told him, I said, I will fucking sue somebody. I'm not fucking playing.
Okay, what illegal rights do you think you have here?
Yeah, he has his trademark.
Because I came up with the name.
Yeah, but he's trademarked the name. So you can't use that name. It's his.
Do you have an?
Use it if I want.
Are you incorporated? Do you have an LLC? Do you have a business license? You have a trademark? Because he has all these things.
All that shit.
Okay, but that's to legally sue. You need to have that.
Yeah, you can't sue somebody who legally has the right to.
Honestly, what reason, like, do people have to fuck with my business?
First of all, he's
the fucking reason.
He's making coasters. I believe you're in a different lane.
Yeah, you're
here,
not
Chris.
Selling coasters.
Were you branching out?
No, I'm talking about like the listeners and shit are always trying to fuck with me.
You can never estimate how people are going to handle things.
Hey, do you think we could sit you guys down in a room and you guys could hash it out, you know, professionally?
Yeah.
All right. So that's probably what we need to do, just all have right. these guys talk it out.
Are you willing to commit to never getting into the coaster business?
I'll bet he changed the name, or at least if he promised not to try to take his market share.
I want him to change the name, because that's crazy. Like, your listeners have a beef with me that they have to, like, purposely fuck with whatever's going on.
Give me an example. I swear, I don't even know what you're referring to.
And I'm not blaming either one of you. You have no control over that. That's just your listeners being assholes. Like, I wouldn't do shit like that. That's fucking dumb.
What if he changes it to the number 5 plated coasters as opposed to the word 5?
It's still the same name. It's just spelled differently.
Would you be okay with him changing the name completely but using your likeness?
If I get royalties out of it.
Okay. Can he use the phrase never estimated?
I don't care if he uses the phrase. It's just a phrase.
It's your whole brand. I mean, it's your identity.
No.
It what sets you apart.
No, my,
you put two words together that have never been put together before.
Yeah, nobody's ever said that before.
You'd have a better shot at suing over never estimated, Chris.
Logo.
How about this, Chris? How much would you offer him to buy his company?
I don't want to buy his.
You own the rights to 5 Plated Coasters, 5PlatedCoasters.com. You own all his products.
He becomes an employee of 5
yes.
5 Plated Coasters.
All his clients are now your clients.
Yes, you have this business.
You get his email list.
Put a number on it, Chris.
Tell him to suck my fucking dick.
Okay, interesting negotiating tactic.
That's your start.
He's a bitch.
That's your jumping off point.
He's a fucking
okay.
bitch.
Hey, you remember in The Godfather?
He's a fucking pussy.
Hey, remember in The Godfather when
yeah, remember.
Remember when the senator said, hey, I'd appreciate it if you, Mo Green. He goes, here's my offer. Uh-huh. Nothing. And I appreciate it if you put up the money for the license. Mm-hmm. That's Chris.
That's for Steve-O for
Chris
you.
Chris is like, how about this? How about this as a negotiation? Suck my dick, and then you can keep. All actually, right. If he sucks your dick, can he keep the name?
That doesn't fuck off.
How much for him? How much would you sell your company to him for?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? $1 million?
There's no amount, Chris.
That's not true. He'd sell for $1 million. It's not $1 million idea, clothing, right? You could call it something else.
What do you think your company is now worth?
My thing is I've wanted to start a brand for a while. I wanted to start a brand for a while. It was just something I wanted to do, and I wanted my own business.
Would you consider going on Judge Judy to hash this out?
I don't give a shit.
You can't say suck my dick on Judge Judy. That will be
come on, man.
That she's a real judge. That's a small claims court.
Yeah, those findings or rulings are official.
Yeah.
They're actually, and you also agreed to.
Legally binding.
Yes, they're legally binding, meaning what happens is you sign a contract saying, I will adhere to the decision that's
yes.
made here.
And you get a TV credit.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, it might launch your comedy career. That's you could maybe do the tennis ball impression in the middle of your.
I stopped doing stand up because I just got tired of the bullshit. You can't say anything, and that's what I wanted to say. It's just free speech 100% gone now.
Well, you know, according to you, it is. You won't let this guy say 5 plated coasters.
I'm also a big free speech advocate.
Everybody, well, you should be. You're an American. Americans believe in the Constitution and free speech.
Go on.
what holds this country together.
Yes. You sound like Jordan Peterson.
You do. Who?
Isn't letting this guy call his company five-plated free speech, Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
I read a lot.
Answer the question.
I'm very into politics.
Well, it's not free speech, Robbie. Speech is there's regulations.
Stop helping him.
Sorry. But anyway, no, the point is this, if we're being honest, right? Chris has no grounds on which to sue because he doesn't own the name.
We'll let Judge Judy decide that. She's the judge here, Joe.
Well, actually, you know what?
It's just such a stupid thing. It's so petty and juvenile.
Well, in this guy's defense, everybody laughed. So I might have been stupid, but it was funny, right? The coasters?
I mean, the concept of it is funny, but it's just stupid. It's like, for what reason?
Okay, hold on. What about this,
Chris?
For
what reason? So he can make people laugh.
So he can make a living. What if you both go on Shark Tank and you pitch your ideas, and whichever one they say is the best, that person gets to keep their company?
Hey, in all honesty, if those coasters were on QVC,
yeah,
they'd sell.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think maybe you want to partner up with
QVC
this guy.
QVC is irrelevant now. I don't think it's even around still.
You're right. It's not.
It's not?
Of course it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be because that lady. What's
people are going to actual stores now. That's what's in.
I don't know. They show that shit at like 4 in the morning.
QVC? No, it's a network.
Yeah, it's on 24 hours a day, but whatever.
Yeah, people are definitely. QVC is definitely still around, right?
Why don't we put. We have people can invest in either company. We'll put it on our Facebook, and whoever wants to invest in your company, whoever gets the most investors gets to keep their brand.
Why do you guys have to torture me?
What do you mean? We're not torturing you. This wasn't
free promotion.
Us. Yeah, you get free promotion. Chris, if you'll be honest,
you call me is like
if you'll be honest, Chris, I think you'll know that we're a net benefit. How many five-plated clothing shirts have you sold? Be honest.
I've sold about 60.
You've sold 60.
That's a lot. How many to complete strangers?
Why would I lie about that?
Well, maybe to try to inflate the numbers because of the point I was trying to make, which is that probably most of your customers are listeners of this show. You think you would have sold that shirt to Eric if we hadn't talked about Never Estimated on? You think you would have sold that shirt to Rob? I mean, we're definitely...
Your parents?
We're definitely... Ooh. Increasing your brand, not decreasing it.
He hung up.
He did?
Yes.
Oh,
Chris,
man.
Do you want to try to call him back?
No.
The thing is, Never Estimated, five-plated clothing is like the Minnesota Vikings. And five-plated coasters is like the Green Bay Packers, a successful organization.
They're like the Patriots, five-plated coasters. Hey, Matt Colby says, Chris said his coasters are stupid, but here's Chris doing an impersonation of Obama riding in a Excite bike running over a tennis ball.
He's the best. Let's take a break. We'll come right back and finish this up.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So Mara Reinstein is now going to be on next week. Is that correct, Robbie?
We have her rescheduled for next week.
And then the following week, we're off for some reason?
No show on the 25th.
Sorry, guys. So to finish last week, oh, by the way, I did listen to you and Katie's show. I love the 19-minute conversation on Liz Drabeck. You handled it perfectly. And she got back to you the next day. We should finish that. She gave us exactly what we wanted, and it's amazing, and we love it. Thank you, Liz.
Yeah, and I gave her tickets to a show.
And tickets, yes. And I finished The Big Sick and Eighth Grade, and I realized that when I went back to finish The Big Sick, I was almost done. And I stand by it being an overrated movie. I liked him and I liked the family interactions. Him
it
and
can
his family
only
I
be
liked.
Overrated because it got a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. 97 out of 100 critics liked it, so it can't be underrated.
I think it's highly overrated.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I finished eighth grade. I think it's a good movie. It's not. It wasn't not a pleasant viewing experience for me. It's surprising that you liked it as much, but I do think it's a very well done movie and good performances. And that kid is hilarious, but he's only in it for 5 minutes. I think for me it would be better as a Netflix show where you could draw out these things.
You know, it's funny you say that because I think about this movie Bird Box. Have you seen it?
No, but people have talked about it.
Don't see it anyway. So right.
I've seen it.
It's fine. But if you put that movie in the movie theater, it gets panned. Do you agree,
Robbie?
Well,
I mean this as a Netflix series, not as a movie.
Fair enough. But my point is that you're
right. Watching it in the comfort of your own home, you don't mind the stupidity, sure. And you see the ending coming a mile away. But if you go to pay $10 to go see it, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, but it's for some reason, it becomes an event when you go out and the bar is higher. And maybe not even the money. You probably don't care about that either, Robbie. But that becomes an event. And then when it's, I'm not articulating it very well.
You had to decide, I want to do this. You had to talk about it. Do we want to leave the house? Do we want to see this movie? Do we have to get there early? There's no impulse situation.
Yeah, but I think it's weird. I would not have liked Bird Box in a theater. I thought it was fine at home.
Right. No, I get it.
Right. But I know it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably end up watching it eventually. But, I mean, I thought, I guess it's surprising that you liked 8th grade as much as you did, because I was struggling to find where this is appealing to Joe. It seemed like, I mean, maybe because you have kids and they've went through this.
Well, we talked about that. No, I don't think my kids went through that.
Well, you experienced
it's a
kids
different,
their age
it's a different
not that
world.
Long ago.
Yeah, you're right about that. But that's what middle school was like when I was in school. That's what it was like.
I mean, with all the sexual
not
stuff.
Not the
and
sexual
dick
stuff, but you
the,
kind of not feeling like you don't belong and wondering your place.
Yes.
And, you know, trying to figure out yourself and, you know, that. And you also, I thought it felt good where she's like, hey, I'm not going to be one of these kids, but maybe I can be one of these kids. And then this is how I can belong, right? So, you know, and of course you saw the awkward videos she was making, and that's relatable. You know, I also thought it was beautifully acted, but anyway, I really loved it.
No, it was very well acted. I couldn't root for anybody in it except for the one funny kid.
Root for the girl? You didn't have sympathy for her?
No, I had sympathy, but I didn't. I wasn't like, I was just the whole time frustrated. I was like, don't, these kids are stupid. Don't try to be friends with them. Don't do this. Don't
but
do
that. But that's not
don't
what the world is like. We
don't
try to.
Don't fall for this guy. Don't do this. It was just frustrating. Please. And then her dad, I felt so bad for him because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's got a teenage daughter. And I was like, God, I just feel bad for everybody in this. It was like, just get to the end where we can have a happy ending and they can hug it out and they can get there.
Yeah, you're just doing an elevated version of what I accuse Robbie of, and that's every movie. You understand that every movie is conflict, the entire movie until resolution. So,
okay, but I have to enjoy the ride.
Fair enough, but... Yeah. If I literally could take almost any movie and take you through the ride and describe how it's almost horror the whole way through, right? From almost anything, from Jaws to Shawshank, some of the greatest, right? And then the whole idea is that, oh, everything was okay, or even maybe even better than you expected. But this one had a realism to it, whatever. I mean,
no,
we've done this before.
It did have realism.
Yeah.
This is not interesting. You came out to see to Koechner and I.
Yeah, I really had a good time. Yeah,
you hung out a little bit in the green room. He told you about you need to find your love language.
It's weird. I say what he said to me, I say to Katie all the time. I talk about that, right? Where you want to speak somebody's love language, blah blah blah. And of course, Katie's like, I want to try to be funny. She's like, well, if this works out, like, and I'm like, you know, he's gonna think you're serious. Because he's literally trying to give us real relationship advice. Little as you know, I'm basically his age, and I've already been married. Like, I get it.
Right.
But I appreciated him saying, listen, let me actually try to give you some sage advice versus, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he on his first marriage?
Yes. 20 years in.
Because he's got 5 kids. I was imagining that's the case. Yeah.
Yep. So there was a black couple leaving the show Saturday. And as they walk out, they had, you know, good job. And I say, thank you. Hey, come out to a Thursday night for Valentine's Day, murder mystery. It's a great date night. And the woman says to me, this is my son.
Oh, man. That's actually a compliment to her.
Right. Yes. So I put it on Facebook. I called it you know, you hear the term misgendering. I misgenerationed you. Yes.
Did she wasn't offended
anyway. No, not at all. Yeah. Well, look, I'm saying she's 42. She looks 24. I mean, how could that be an insult?
Yeah.
If anybody's uncomfortable, it's probably him.
Are they coming?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I sold a lot of t-shirts, which I don't. Magoobies is hit or miss with that.
Why don't you try to sell them again on Valentine's Day?
Maybe. Sure. Why not?
We don't have any t-shirts to sell.
No. We need to work on that.
I'm excited that we are doing something a little bit new in this one that we've never done before because we have Marianne Sirk playing a couple with Sean Gabbert.
Yeah, there's a new, angle, line of humor, bit, whatever you want to call it.
So I texted them today, tell me what you think of this approach, Robbie. So first of all, I knew damn well they hadn't read it, or maybe they read it.
Their new lines.
So I said, hold on, let me see if I can get, okay. I said, hey, you guys good for Thursday? And then I put in quotes, passive aggressive, because I know you haven't read it, which is really what it was, right?
Yes.
So Marian made a hilarious joke. She said, we've been to dinner twice, but whatever. She goes, I'll get there around 7:15 so we can run through it a few times.
Perfect.
That works out perfect for me, except I go, well, there's also a dance. She goes, well, of course there's a dance, right? So I said, it's easy, but those guys, like, I'm thinking, well, just can't you just call each other and have a 10-minute conversation? But I guess this is as good as anything.
Happen.
It's not. Yeah, so now they're just going to have to try to create this chemistry, you know, in the...
Or create this lack of chemistry for the characters.
Well, no, whatever was funny, yeah. Yes. But I'm just thinking, you know, Robbie wouldn't tolerate it, which is something I admire about him, but also, you know, bothers me. Because he'd be like, can't you guys just call each other? Which is really how I feel, but...
Well, what we've done here, Joe, and you'll hear it in sports, you know, creating a culture. Once you allow for the way to be with the laissez-faire
attitude, we can't now
become Bill Belichick.
You're right. You're right. Unless we fire everybody and get a whole new cast, and this is what we have.
Exactly. This is what we're dealing with. Anyone new we bring in will immediately just do what the rest are doing.
Yeah, she's not hearing from anybody. So
right.
It's funny because we wrote it. I think you took a stab at it. I rewrote it. You took another stab at it. I took another stab at it. And we're like, okay, well, I like it.
Yes.
And then we handed it to them, and they're like,
And they're going to do whatever they're going to do.
Right. They might not even use it. Who knows?
Who knows? But come out to... It's going to be packed. We might sell it out. So if you're not doing anything, this Valentine's Day, Magoobie's Joke House, 8 p.m., the newly dead game.
We'll probably have Robbie. 300 people there. Easy,
It's going to be awesome. Did you watch the Grammys?
I watched beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and every single person... I only recognized... two people that I saw, okay? One is a fairly new artist who's come on the scene within the last 2 or 3 years, and the other one is clearly the oldest. No, I'm so sorry. Three artists. So, one, fairly new.
Cardi B.
That's correct, Cardi B. The other one, she's probably been around for 10 years, maybe more than that, probably 15, which you wouldn't think because she was a child star, and I recognized her.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus is correct. And then the other one I recognize is Miley Cyrus's godmother who was there.
Right, Dolly Parton.
That's correct. That's it. And they kept going person after person. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck this is. I don't know who this is.
You know who Alicia Keys is, right?
I didn't see her, though. She hosted it, right?
Yes.
So I didn't watch the Grammys. I only watched the red carpet interviews ahead of time. I didn't know anybody, including the people that were doing the interviews.
Well, somebody named Kacey Musgraves.
Never heard of Kacey Musgraves.
Never heard of her.
Don't know who that is.
It is weird that they
Leslie Pearl. I know that's another person who got interviewed.
Yeah. Melissa Manchester. Mike Turpin. This was my problem. They do this Motown tribute, which it seems to me it's almost akin to this Leslie Pearl. How hard would it be to have a playlist of all songs of love in the title that are all bangers, huge hits? Pretty easy.
It's also pretty easy, you're saying, to find huge Motown hits?
Yes. How hard would it be to take Motown, one of the most universal. Everybody knows the words.
You
to
got
these
Jackson
songs.
Five. You got Smokey right. Robinson. You got Marvin Gaye. You got right. Stevie and, Wonder. Yeah, you're
and just take the talent you have in the world and put together a Motown tribute. Easy. It would be hard to screw it up.
Four Tops, so, Temptations.
They have, first of all, they introduce it by Alicia Keys and Smokey Robinson just singing a cappella the first, you know, verse and chorus of Tracks of My Tears.
Okay.
So I'm song. Like, first of all, that is in the running as one of my all-time favorite songs.
Great song.
So why are you, that should be, you should do that for real. Like, she's on piano. That shouldn't be you're introducing it. This should be part of the performance. And then they have Jennifer Lopez as the main female lead.
Okay.
Who is never considered, no one's considered her a great singer.
No, she's a beauty. She's a pop star. She can dance, yeah.
She's also, she's not from that time period. She's not black. It just, it doesn't check any box of making sense.
Yes, you're right.
Like, I actually had people on Facebook that are black saying, hey, if they had Adele, well, at least I know Adele's got a great voice, you know?
Right.
So she's an A-list singer. So it just doesn't make sense. And they have Neo, another, he hasn't had a hit in 6 years.
I don't know who that is.
It's just a weird compilation. Meanwhile, you just had Alicia Keys. The highlight is Alicia Keys and Smokey Robinson singing one verse of Tracks of My Tears, a cappella. You could have just done that. But whatever. It seemed hard to screw it up, yet they did.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is Diana Ross and the Supremes, they were a Motown act, right?
She was there. They did a tribute to Diana Ross for her birthday, which is in a month, which is, I don't know. She's got something happening. But then she said, happy birthday to me at the end. I was like, wait a minute. You just said it's in March. You can't go too far on the birthday.
Yeah, that's okay? Really.
It's in like 5 weeks. Just relax,
that
okay?
That doesn't really count.
But
did you watch the whole show?
I didn't. I had it on. Me and Tawana were sort of watching it, and then she went to bed, and then I turned it. I think I went back to something, and I saw who won. I think I saw Shallow won, so not like that song.
I like that
movie.
Song, too, yeah. Right?
So, I mean, it was fine. Look, I don't know a lot of these people, but, I mean, I do like Miley Cyrus. I think she can sing.
She can sing. Yeah. Look, I know I'm old, because... You remember we talked love language? We talked about that?
Yeah.
So when we drive, Katie drives. Okay?
Yes.
And that's probably good. I'm not a great driver and I'm old. And I like that she drives, so mm-hmm. I can just sit there and do whatever. But because she drives, she listens to the music.
Of course.
And basically, mostly what we listen to is contemporary music. And I'm telling you, without exaggeration, I hate 9 out of 10 songs. I fucking hate 9 out of 10 songs. But this is the woman I love. She's driving, so I let her pick it out. But it makes me think, like, is that just me old? And maybe it is. Maybe it is. But, you know, I was saying this the other day. I listened to, what Van Morrison song? Into the Mystic or whatever? What's that song, Robbie? Is that what it is? Into the Mystic?
That's the name of the song, yes.
Yeah. And I heard it, and I'm like, you know, there won't be a song written this year as good as this song. There won't be.
I don't know it.
Well, that's too bad. So
I mean, I could look it up.
But the point is that, you know, all drums are going to be played on a machine. All bass lines are going to be done with a machine.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to piece
that is
it
a little,
together.
It is old man of you.
Everybody's going to
doesn't
piece
mean you're wrong, but
their parts together from different cities and mail yes. it in or whatever. And I know that there is something to be said for the chemistry that's created by human beings sitting together in a room. Not saying that every song even created back then was done the same way, because I know that the Beatles and a lot of bands did that. But
well, you can't fake that.
But most of this stuff seems like it came out of, it's like a copy of a copy of a copy, and then you're like, hey, it's the same thing. And you're, nah, it's not really. So I don't know the word. There are pop songs that are written today that are as good as pop songs, I was going to make a point, that were written 20 years ago. I mean, Uptown Funk is as good as any pop song you're ever going to hear.
Yes.
But the songs that you hear from, like, you know, the greats, right? Songs by the Beatles, songs by the Stones, those days are gone. You're never, ever going to hear a song created like that because it can't be consumed. It can't, where
well,
are they going to play it?
A hit rock music now is Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons, right. Yes. Which sounds like, and they're cool. I like them. They're, yeah. You know, they're fun.
But it's very poppy.
The Chainsmokers, that's fine. I like it. I mean, I'll listen to it. It doesn't kill me, but
well, I thought
somebody
the best...
sitting there with a guitar and singing a great song, it's
if
just...
there's anything good you can say about the new music is that it makes you appreciate that, because when I hear one of those old Stone songs and the energy, because they're definitely in the same room performing that music, it's not replaceable. It sounds so much better now going back and listening to that.
Well, that's the thing. Like a song like Gimme Shelter, which I believe is the best Stone song.
Yeah.
Well, you say best. Their catalog is fucking ridiculously great. But that's that song right now, we wouldn't even be a hit. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no place for that to be consumed.
Correct.
So that's the shame. It's not just that the music's worse, which it is. It is worse. It's that if somebody created an all-timer, you might never even find a... you know what I mean? Robbie's got to hear Leslie Pearl on the these obscure stations.
Alicia Keys did a nice job where she did this thing where she was playing two pianos at the same time and then going back and forth. And the bit was... you know, you hear a song that you love and you're like, you know, I wish I'd wrote that song. I wish I wrote this. And then she'd play that song. And then she'd do that with all these other songs of the year over the years. And she did that with like seven or eight songs.
And they kept getting worse as you got closer to today.
Well, they weren't all, I mean, some like Use Somebody. They weren't all weren't all traditional piano songs by any means.
Right.
So, but it was cool that she was a little bit of a take on those songs. They weren't direct cover ripoff. It was an interpretation.
Yeah, and there might be a place for it. Like, I saw Bob Seger recently, and I'm not sure a lot of those songs would make, but they could be country songs. So there still would be a place for Bob Seger today, and country music is huge, so you might be able to...
Well, that voice is always going to stand out.
Yes, but you're right about that. But think about people that are even more important. I don't know if important is the right word, but they're clearly more accomplished, like bands like The Who. I'm telling you, I'm not sure there'd be any place for them. I don't know where their music would be played. So, you know, if that
we
doesn't
sound really old tonight.
I know, but doesn't that...
You're not wrong.
Nobody's terrified by that. The idea that the greatest music that, I guess, rock has to offer, it can't be anywhere. It can't be found. I remember when I heard Rapper's Delight for the first time in 1979. I'm like, fuck yeah, because somebody had never heard before, right? Well, I think if you heard something, if The Who never existed and all of a sudden Bob O'Reilly came out today,
CSI has every song. I mean,
that's because it's already... Right, it stood the test of time. I hear what you're... I understand what you're saying. But music is consumed by the young. That's who it's consumed by. So if there's no place for it today, that means it couldn't exist, right? Wake Up Little Susie couldn't exist today. I'm okay with that, right? I am. I'm not okay with there being no place for the Beatles. Maybe the Beatles would be played today because they did so many different things. But so do the Stones and so do the Who.
But I do think kids today, because of YouTube and iTunes and Spotify and Pandora, it's more easy for them to find these old bands and get into them. Like we have our friend Gary, his kids, 17, 18? He's wore a Purple Rain shirt for a whole month straight.
Yes, but hear me out for a second. So when I was young, I knew who Johnny Cash was. I knew who Elvis Presley was. Like, I knew the people that...
But you didn't have access to go... You couldn't listen to their entire catalog.
Well, that's even
without
more...
Without buying it or without
That's
making
even
an effort.
More of a testament to how difficult it was for me to make sure that I knew what was great. Dude, I knew who the fucking Andrew Sisters were. Like, I knew music. I you took the time... To say, all right, what was important to what I'm listening to today? What got us here, right? I knew all that. Those people, I remember James, my adopted son James,
yes.
Right? I remember playing Bob Marley for him, and he's like, I don't like it. And then the Fugees, I think they had a song that had a piece of No Woman, No Cry in there, something like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, okay, well, now it's I recognize it as being good, right? And I'm like, I was never like that. I always knew, all right, I want to hear the Beach Boys. I want to hear these bands that came a generation before me and two generations before me because people are telling me they were great. And Robbie and I always were exposed to that. But my father didn't listen to that. We sought it out, right? Sorry, I'm preaching like hell now. But I hear this music. Like I hear that song that Katie loves by Cardi B about the bloody shoes, whatever. That song fucking sucks. It's not a good song. It's not.
It's a very popular song.
And I hear that song, God's Plan by Drake. That's a fucking shit song. It's not a good song.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Now, I know that they do these things with the videos and so forth. Okay, great. Guess what? Billie Jean had a great video. It was a fucking number one hit before anybody ever saw that. I mean, it was the song was great. It didn't need to have something like this fucking... What's the song about the girl with who's talking about her boyfriends? She was dating Pete Davidson. She's
Ariana Grande. Yes, yeah.
She has that song out about... Dude, it's the biggest song in the fucking world.
Yeah.
I think I like this pop music more than you do. Not like Katie, obviously, but... You have a real disdain for most of these songs.
I don't, but I want to. That's the irony. It's like, first of all, I'm in radio. Second of all, I have a young girlfriend. So I want
fiance.
To.
Fiance.
Soon, young wife, right?
Yeah.
So I want to be able to say, well, I appreciate this, I appreciate that. The last band that I said, I want their music, I'm going to go pursue it. That was contemporary.
Okay, can I guess?
Sure.
All right. The last.
I'm going to say Foo Fighters.
I'm going to. I thought about. It's got to be more recent than that. I don't know. Jack White.
So the Foo Fighters. I like them, but I never went out and tried to pursue their music. I never bought a Foo Fighters CD. I've never did that. I mean, I liked them,
right.
But I think the last. Well, Tenacious D is the last band that was contemporary that I love, if they count, or Flight of the Conchords that I love that if that counts. But I think Cake.
Okay.
And they're probably 20 years old.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
That's the last band I said, I want the music that they produce.
Your fiance is barely older than the last band you wanted to follow and pursue.
Yeah.
Doesn't Katie have a milestone birthday coming up soon, or is that next year?
No, it's next year,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, then she's still behind.
She's making herself older than she is. Like, she's been saying, hey, I'm 29, because she's, like, 2 months away from being 29.
I thought that's why. Okay, that's where.
But
I
she said
that
that's because, you know, then it makes our ages closer. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, she's going to be 29, and then next year she'll be 30. It's a big birthday for her.
Hey, it's not 100% official, but it looks pretty good that Joe and I will be on the Mike O'Mara Show on February 19th. That's Tuesday. So give a listen for that. We'll be on with the Mothership. Looking forward to it. It's been a while. And, of course, once again, Magoobie's Joke House this Thursday, Valentine's Day. Spend it with us.
By the time you're hearing this, you better start buying immediately.
Get on it. And February 27th, the new show, Hit Me 90s, one more time.
Hey, yeah,
with
can
cake.
I make...
Cake. Is Cake in that?
Let me make up... Yeah, Robbie, is it?
Yes, Cake is February definitely 27th. In the mix.
What song, The Distance?
Love
the Distance
Me
is definitely in there. There might be one other.
The Distance should be in there. I know Robbie's a big Cake fan, too. But The Distance is really the song that should be played by...
That's the one that's the most known.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But anyway, hey, I made this plea the last time. We sell out or pack every single room that we do. For some reason, the Annapolis Rams head, we get 150 people in there. So, buy tickets. We're debuting the 90s show. And tickets are available right now. I think 100 seats are sold right now.
It's February 27th. It's a Wednesday night. It's hump day. The week's almost over. You can come out and live it up a little bit.
Well, you said something the other day about, hey, maybe we don't do well because we don't get a weekend. Well, guess what? The next night after us, Amy Grant's going to be there. Her tickets are four times ours, and it's already sold out.
Well, I mean, Amy Grant has, you know, didn't she have a number one hit?
I don't think she had a number one hit. Yeah.
Following, she's, that's, do you think we'd do better than Leslie Pearl?
That's a good question. I'll bet we would not.
Oh,
not in
on.
Annapolis. Any other room we would. Every room we do better than Leslie Pearl at the DC Improv.
You get to come and see a brand new murder mystery, and you might even get to spot Gramps and Robbie's new girlfriend sitting together.
Have you warned her?
No,
yeah.
I have not warned her about Gramps.
Well, you better. Jeez.
So this is kind of funny real quick, but in chat, first of all, Matt Colby, we're talking about music. He said, no one's terrified because there isn't such thing as a classic anymore. Think about movies. What's the last undeniable classic, absolute classic that's been made in the last decade? You don't need to make Citizen Kane to make money. You just need to make Men in Black. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think movie making is at an apex right now. I really do. I don't love a lot of the movies that came out, but
I think TV is.
Your TV is way ahead of, I'm sorry, not ahead of movies, but the delta between TV, 10 years ago and movies 10 years ago, you're right. But the last classic to stand the test of time, The Dark Knight is one. I mean, I was going to say Pulp Fiction, but that's probably 25 years old now.
It is.
I was going to say Gladiator, but that's 2000. What about Braveheart?
Braveheart is a classic.
But it's still 20 years old.
What about the Lord of the Rings movies?
Yeah, they're in there.
Yeah.
What about Titanic?
But even these aren't last 10 years, though, I think, to his point.
All right. Well, he's probably right. And yeah, my favorite movie from last year, my favorite movie from last year was The Disaster Artist. It's not an all-timer. My favorite movie from this year, Eighth Grade or A Star Is Born, they're not all-timers.
Is Avatar an all-timer? It's 2009.
It probably is, but I mean, more because of what they did visually. It's not, I saw a million movies better. So no, I say no.
Are these Harry Potter movies?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they're important in terms of the encapsulating what was going on in pop culture at the time. But yeah, I think they're classics. I do. Yeah.
Don't you agree Joe should spend more time with the television than at the movies, Rob? Because storytelling is so much
Celebrity Big Brother.
On.
No. Well, what am I missing? We got to go. I can't get into this right now. But yeah, real quick.
About it next
what time. Am I missing, Robbie? Real quick. Just give me.
You're watching the main ones. You're watching the Better Call Saul. But, just storytelling in general is better on TV now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to need you to be more specific.
Okay. I'll come up with a list next week.
Look forward to it. See you guys.
All right. See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.